Last time on Wanderlust. You know, there is, like, random generation in this game, right? And it's bad for you guys this time, as it happens.
We haven't had anything good yet.
No, you really haven't. This has been all bad as you've been going. I don't want to say grim-looking, but all the colors are muted ahead of you, and it's also barely forested ahead of you.
Well, I think we might have found what we're looking for. Can't say I'm overjoyed, but I'm glad we found it, right? So, do we have a plan for encountering this meteorological phenomenon?
It worries me when you're the one asking this, Juliet.
Like, this is extremely strange. Like, behind you, verdant, multicolored forest. In front of you, all of that is knocked over, and you just see tons of these little holes, right? Scattered all throughout this area.
I would like to investigate the holes. I'm gonna use my glowy grabby to stick it down in the hole and illuminate it.
Okay.
And see what's there.
So you shine the light down in. As you look, you don't see the bottom, right? Just like basically cavernous emptiness, right? Just into a void. That darkness just seems to like undulate and then slither away. I say slither, not necessarily like a snake, but just like something long and alive moves its way out of like, right? Across
yes.
the opening, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as that happens, you just see eyes staring up at you.
Estelle's gonna take out her kalimba.
And its tone becomes far more neutral, but it still is very musical to your ears, like playing some weird complicated melody off. And then it does that for a few moments, then stares at you again, shakes again, and reaches out to like try to take the kalimba from you. And there is, I mean, the worst mouth you've ever seen in your life. Just way too huge, this fleshy, giant opening in the wall, like sticking out of the wall. It is like extended and like kind of breathing in and out. It looks damp. There's like sort of teeth on the front that you can see dirt caked into. And it's like about exactly the diameter of these holes, you know? And the cricket looks away from you, its face turns red, like solid red, and then like a somewhat more complicated red and green pattern, and its song becomes just like bzz, bzz. And then you see like beetles just crawling into the mouth, like one after the other, as they're just wedging themselves back into this mouth. But when you hit the top of this hill, you get for the first time like a somewhat decent vantage point that you can see over the river into what looks like a city-sized hornet's nest. It's just chaos of these bugs swarming over each other, crawling up and down. It's getting grim. As you guys walk down this muddy hill down towards the river that at this point is expansive in front of you, it almost blends into the other coast because of how much soil has eroded from this once verdant forest. You can see falled and knocked over and slopped over with mud trees all around you. Like, you can almost imagine what this used to look like. All of you are feeling biting cold. As you realize it is getting very late, you are very hungry, and you need to like warm up and dry off your stuff. What I need all of you to do is try to find shelter. Make me a find some shelter roll.
Can we work together on this?
Yes, you can come together on it, but I still need all of you to make a roll. You know what? If you want to give someone an aspect, I will say you could make an aspect right now, and then someone could utilize that on their roll. But you have to make an aspect somehow.
So what I want to do is I want to use athletics to like help build a shelter. So basically have someone else find a good spot and then I can move heavy stuff into the place to give us more shelter. Does that make sense?
It does. Yep.
Along those same lines, I wanted to try to see if I can find things to help craft a shelter of sorts.
Okay, so I then will say, Estelle and Juliet, make me a find an area roll.
Okay, I'm going to use notice to find a good spot.
Okay.
That's a 4.
I mean, it's not going to be as good, but can I use danger sense or inquisitive?
Use danger sense.
Then it's a +2.
Do I need to roll to make an aspect?
No, because making a shelter is different than finding an area, but you can roll to try to make the shelter with Fred. Actually, do this. Make an assistant roll. Yeah, so okay, you're going to make an aspect. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
4.
Okay.
And then I'm using my crafting.
Yeah, so basically you have an aspect you can apply to this role of able-bodied helper, and then we'll talk through what just happened here.
So can Mandy's role be an assist to mine?
No, hers is something else. Don't worry.
Okay.
I got all these pieces to put together here.
And so I can invoke that aspect once for free?
Yes.
So that is a 7.
Dadgum. Okay.
I rolled even.
We build a palace.
We have indoor heating.
All right, so there's plenty of fallen lumber around here, so it's not super hard to find raw building materials. So as you walk along the bank of this river trying to find an area to set up shop in, you see another one of those holes, you think, in the side of the bank. So you go, okay, reasonably, we could board this up a little bit. We have to go pretty quick, but whatever. So you grab, Autumn, you start grabbing lumber and just, sticking broken off trees, in a rough fence around this area. You're trying to, throw some of your, leftover tent tarps and stuff over it to kind of, sequester yourselves into this little hole.
Is it, the holes from the bugs that we found, or is it, just, a divot in the ground?
We're getting to that. I promise I'm answering it. Fred, with a 7, you discover something very interesting. So the mud around here, right, this whole area is kind of getting sloppy and wet as things have been uprooted. When you go further into this hole and scrape your hand along the surface of the hole and feel it, you can tell it's different. It's a different texture and a different feel than what the regular mud from the forest would be, right? And when you use that to mortar between logs, you can see that even in the rain, it goes through a curing process and then hardens pretty quickly and ends up being sort of sticky. So on your hands, you can feel that your hands are kind of sticky and gummy. And it's a little bit gross, you know, when you get glue on your hands, it feels like you can feel it tensioning and stretching on your skin.
It's really wet clay.
Yeah, it has that gross feeling, but it's working in the rain, which is strange, right?
Right.
So you're almost able to make a solid wall just off of scraping from the sides of the cave and slathering it on this stuff. It like clay just cures up into a fairly strong wall for
so
what
it's like super glue.
Yeah, you kind of
because you know what cures super glue is water.
Yeah.
It's the water vapor in the air that cures super glue.
Oh, that's interesting. You know what? I didn't know that, but now I'm thinking about it and I kind of love that. So you're able to scrape it off the walls into you know what? This is kind of cool. So the heat from all those tools that you guys have that get warm from a fire, they're able to melt it. And then once it cools, it reforms pretty hard. So it's very temperature pliant, but almost to the point where your hands could almost melt it. So it's like wax that hardens very hard. But yeah, anyway, so Fred's able to build this structure on top of this cave. Juliet, you were able to find this area and go okay, best thing we got right now. Otherwise, everything we have is going to get soaked and we're going to sink into the mud when we try to sleep. You've read in books, trying to pitch a tent in a rainstorm on soft, uneven soil, probably not great. So these caves are better. Meanwhile, Estelle, you're kind of getting this uneasy feeling as you guys build this structure and you walk further back into the cave. You have your lantern open, casting light, and you hit a point in the wall where you can see that this tunnel sort of curved along another surface and you find even bricks stacked on top of each other, like a cobblestoned wall, you know, clearly cut. Laid stone that this what you would intuit is that whatever burrowing insect made this tunnel hit this hard thing and then went around it through the dirt. So you've found a wall and you can almost see where the stones have been disturbed, and you could like push on them and they're like kind of already falling in.
So to be clear, there's a tunnel that's going down.
Mm-hmm. And it hits a bricked up
wall.
It hits
a laid brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of curves and like follows that wall sideways.
Yeah, it like goes around it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
When the bricks, like, you know, I put my hand on it and the bricks kind of start crumbling inward. Mm-hmm. Is it hollow in there or is there like a bunch of dirt?
So you're pushing the bricks and they, yeah, I'll say like you push on one and it falls into the room. Like you think you're pushing a brick into an opening.
God, I hate that. I push a few more and put my like flashlight in a little bit more.
So you push a few more in, they tumble in, and you shine your flashlight in to a room that you feel like is straight out of one of Autumn's novels. When you push the brick in, you hear it tumble onto like a staircase that leads downward into a room that's maybe like four stories down. You can like shine the light into. There's pillars from the like ceiling that you're pushing bricks off, right, all the way down to this lower level. And at the very bottom of it, you can see like a small stone altar raised up that's filled with a green liquid that's glowing faintly.
Nope.
So, do you really want to be outside all night?
Okay, can I just show you what's back here?
Sure, what is it?
I'm not saying we necessarily have to leave, but like, maybe Autumn and Fred can like brick this stuff back up or something, or put like a fence between us. And Estelle, like, takes her back and shows her.
You guys see what I just described?
I don't really know what to make of that. That doesn't happen very often, but it seems to happen a lot in the wilds.
All I know at this point is that it's creepy, and honestly, I would be way less creeped out. I'm talking quietly, by the way. I would be a lot less freaked out if there wasn't something down there.
Yes, the glowing pool on the altar gives me a bad feeling.
Like, at first I thought this was just like, you know, it's been years since people have been out here.
Right, yeah.
Maybe there was a mudslide or something, and that's why it's all, you know, covered. But no, that makes me nervous.
Right, I'm in favor of bricking it up. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to ask Fred to do that?
Fred!
Sure, Fred will do that.
So, Fred, you look down and see, like, a glowing pool of, like, bioluminescent liquid in this mystery chasm. And they're like, all right, brick it up. What do you do?
I do like how you guys are all like, oh, this is Autumn's dream. And you're like, we cannot tell her. In any way.
There's nothing down there.
We cannot let her know that this is here.
Is it your dream? Is it your dream? This isn't... Is it?
I will say, Autumn is probably preparing the fence outside.
Are you guys sure we don't want to investigate this?
If you want to, go for it.
We'll pull you back out.
Yeah, I'm already creeped out enough after all the bug stuff today, and I kind of just want to have some dinner and rest and recuperate. I'm soaked. We're all soaked. But if you want to investigate that, have fun.
I think I got an idea of who might want to join me on this. And he goes out to get Autumn. hey, Autumn, I got an adventure for you.
Is it in the tunnel?
Yeah, it's in the tunnel. We found some kind of building with some weird glowy liquid down at the bottom. I figured it was something you might enjoy taking a look at with me.
So she was looking really hesitant, and then she's like, then her eyes get wide, like, oh no, we're going down here. Yes, let's go now? The fence is good enough, right?
I'll have dinner when you guys get back.
Thanks, Estelle. Autumn's like, going.
So, Autumn, you, Fred, are you going with?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, Autumn, you go there and, like, shove a few more bricks out into this chasm. So, like I said, there's stairs leading up to, like, a balcony, you know? They would look down into this, like, little pool of green liquid all the way down at the bottom floor. So imagine there's a room four stories tall with like four balconies on each floor, but it's open in the middle, right? So
like a coliseum?
Yes, like that, okay. Right? So you're at the top of it. The bottom of it is four stories down.
Okay.
But you're like jumping 6 feet down to a platform and then finding stairs to get all the way to the bottom.
To get to each subsequent platform. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And then the bottom has an altar with the green liquid on it, surrounding it?
In like a basin.
Okay. So there's like a basin on top of an altar.
Yeah. Full of green liquid.
Okay.
So you hop down and start like walking your way through this sort of like dark, musty, this, you know, dark, musty platform leading to steps going down down towards this basin. As you walk, the smell becomes very reminiscent to you. It's that same like syrupy, rich forest smell that, as long as you've been in this like bug blighted area, has been almost entirely gone, right? But now that you're here, the closer you get to that pool of liquid, the stronger it gets, that same smell that came with the Phantom of the Forest as you walk your way down these steps. The stone columns are like very clearly built, like you can see seams and cuts in them, but they are extremely organic. Like it looks like actual trees made of stone, like beautifully sculpted up to the top where they spread out like branches, and at the base are like roots. Those roots then seemingly grow, but were also clearly built to that stone basin. When you get all the way to the floor, you step down onto a soft pile of leaves that like crinkle and crunch as you walk across them to this fountain of liquid, or to this, not fountain, but this like basin of glowing green liquid. It is also completely silent, like muted, muffled, like snowfall silent.
Can I make a lore check?
Yeah, you can.
My skill finally gets to apply. Ooh, that's really good for what I had. That'll be a 4.
Okay. You gesture with that spear around this bottom area, right? And you almost jump at first, like as you kind of like use it to like hold, you like hold it up to cast light around. You see like a almost perfectly realistic like mouth of a wolf open right in front of your face, carved in stone. You see on like another wall bears, tons of birds, like their wings outspread, carved into stone, but also almost looking like they're popping out. And in this weird light, it feels like you are a very small thing at the center of a lot of open mouths with fangs, claws, sharp talons, all staring down at this little pool of green water.
So I know what I think this is, but what do you think this is, Fred?
Well, the smell in here is awfully familiar. I can't help but think it's related to the, what do we call it, the forest phantom that we met the other night? Last night? Whenever that was.
I think that's what Estelle called it.
The days kind of stretch around here. I kind of lose track of time.
Yeah, at times they only feel like an hour long, and then other times it feels like a week between them.
So, what do you think it is, then?
Oh, this is clearly like an altar for some ritual. I don't know if we touched the liquid or put our blood in the liquid. That's the question.
Well, I don't want to be drawing blood right now.
Touching it, it is.
Do you touch it?
Oh yeah, I touched the liquid.
You turn and take like one step towards the fountain, and then you hear the leaves around you start to rustle and slither over themselves and spiral around as a figure starts to form up out of them. And you see something raising itself off the floor. Sort of familiar, this, to something you've seen before, as a figure stands in front of you. However, the thing standing in front of you here is much taller. Its eyes glow like a dog's, like as light casts over it, you can see it like reflect off of dog-like eyes. Its face is longer and more pointed, and it breaks open with like a crunching wooden pop as you see like dripping bloody fangs in its mouth, and you hear a whispery voice come out.
Are you predator or prey?
Predator.
You see it rustle a little bit.
I am excited to see you then. Offer your kill and prove it. Your eyes and teeth are not enough.
And you see it reach into its body and pull out a really messed up looking insect, like very like tons of huge claws, like a big like dripping poisonous looking fangs that are biting into it, and it crushes it and drops it into the basin.
There are no living animals down here really, right?
There's Fred.
I stabbed the slug thing I have.
Oh! I forgot about that.
So you stab the slug thing and drop it into the basin, and it looks at you and goes,
I think mine is better. I hope you do not display such weakness in the future. Those who are weak do not last in this place.
And it just drops into a pile of leaves.
Now, did Fred see all this as well? Or is this?
Oh yeah, you definitely saw all that, yeah. Okay.
Well then, that was interesting.
Right? That was amazing. Two forest phantoms in 2 days.
Now, I just hope that little slug thing that you just killed, that the other bug gave you, I hope that's not gonna anger their... Because like, I guess you like made a trade for that, right? Or something?
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried because all I can see that bug, the slug thing growing into, is a terrible, terrible, horrifying bug. I see no way that ended well for me to keep it.
I think I hear God laughing at us right now. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's hard to know until it grows up, but I understand why you didn't want to keep it.
Right? Like, it seemed like bad form to murder it immediately, and then I kind of forgot it was there for a while. And I think otherwise it wanted me to kill you, and I'm not, like, really about that.
Well, I appreciate that.
Did the basin change at all?
No, decidedly there is not a slug or, like, a stinging, biting murder bug in it. Those just vanished.
Neat.
Self-sufficient garbage disposal.
Well, I don't know if there's anything else to figure out down here other than this place is weird.
Yeah, I guess not. I think we might have needed a better hunt or something. Maybe we need to kill something bigger and come back.
We could try, but I mean, I don't know. We haven't seen anything really near us lately.
Yeah, and I don't know if we'll be able to convince the others to come back here. They were already hesitant to even come down here.
Right? And miss all of this fun stuff? So, are you cool heading out, Fred?
Yep.
So as we're making our way back up, so I talked with Estelle a little bit, and she told me, like, why you're coming into the wilds, but what brings you to Smoky Banks, Fred? This is not kind of the stop where you everything's going well?
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, I could bore you with all kinds of stories. No, wait. No, you like stories. Never mind.
Yeah, bad tack to take. Now I'm more interested.
All right.
Oh, wait. Is it pack of werewolves murdered your family and you're on the run from them?
Oh man, you got it in one. He gives you gives her a cheeky smile.
Yes.
No, unfortunately, it's a lot more boring than that. I used to live in... I originally lived in one of the bigger city herbs.
Oh, which one?
insert name here.
Oh, I've heard of that one. It's lovely this time of year.
And, I mean, you know the type of stuff that I do. Like, I make stuff. I like to make stuff out of metal. Well, that got me noticed. Got me noticed by some of the less reputable folks in town. And I was happy for the work. I was happy for the payment. And I tried to not ask too many questions. Well, one time I asked a few too many questions, decided I didn't want to do the job, and they basically told me that wasn't an option. So I figured I kind of need a place. I need to get out of there. I need somewhere else to go.
End of the world seems the right place to hide.
Yeah, I'm just hoping they don't come looking for me. I can't imagine they would go that far. They were very. It was some plot to overthrow the local council or something. I was like, I don't really want to deal with this.
That seems a little intense.
Yeah, might have gotten it a bit deep in there. But I made it out here, and even though technically we're in more danger out here, I definitely feel more comfortable, if that makes any sense.
Everything out here you know wants to kill you? Like, nothing smiles at you first and then does it, you know?
Right, yeah, the things out here, it's like, yeah, they threaten you, but they follow through immediately. It's not vague threats that you never know when something's coming.
Right, and you don't have to be suspicious of everything, because it's like animals? It's less duplicitous.
Although with some of the stuff we've seen today, it seems like some of these animals have more intelligence than we're used to.
Yeah, that grasshopper was weird. Not the biggest fan. Alright, we head back.
Alright, so you head back up to, you know, the little campfire that I suppose Estelle and Juliet have put together after all of this.
We've definitely got, like, jackets off and, like, trying to dry as much as they can.
Yep. Anything else that you guys want to do tonight before you head off to bed?
How are we keeping watch? Where are we keeping watch at?
You don't technically have to keep watch if you don't specifically want to, but I guess, you know, however you want.
Are we not keeping watch, team?
I think we should, but since we're more contained this time, I think if we do one person at a time, that way we can kind of maximize the amount of sleep everybody's getting.
I agree. Yes.
Okay.
I guess the only other thing we're doing tonight is Estelle will ask, you know, they'll get the same information, I assume, for what you guys found down there.
Yeah, we relay. Do we want to have that
over
as a
dinner?
Do we want to relay that as a scene, or do you just got to be like, that's weird?
I think that's weird.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, Guffy's still here.
Right, we kind of forgot that he exists for a bit.
He's a pack mule right now.
Yeah. Okay, so you can all mark off 2 meals worth of food.
I mean, 2 pounds worth of food.
2 pounds, sorry, 2 pounds worth of food. Camping here is odd, for sure. You're in kind of like a soft, earthy tunnel. The smoke from the fire is kind of peeling its way out or back towards that, you know, hole that you found in the wall. But the evening passes pretty quietly. You think occasionally... Oh, what's up?
I want to make some choices before you just say it all goes without flaws.
Okay.
Autumn wants to take the first watch and then stay awake as long as physically possible, not waking anyone up to relieve her.
Okay.
And she is sitting at the entrance of the cave, like, to the outside.
Okay. Is there something specific that you're looking for?
No, she just does not want to be in an enclosed space for 8 hours.
Ah, gotcha. That does make sense.
Like, she is very uncomfortable being in an enclosed space down, like, in the ground. So she's like, I'll take first watch, and then goes and sits out there until she's, like, falling asleep. And then I would say, like, she'll wake someone up, and then she'll go, like, sleep on the first balcony.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Like, back in the, what's it called?
Yeah, like on the highest up one, so it's like, she's not, like, near the altar.
Sure.
But she is very specifically, like, not sleeping in the, like...
Tunnel.
Very enclosed cave. Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
So I feel like it's fair for me to take some amount of strain for that.
Yeah, I think one mental strain of, like, tired makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, like, she, like, stays up, like, over, like, a very long time, you know?
Sure, that makes sense. Okay. Anyone else want to do anything through the night?
Yeah.
Nope.
All right, so the evening passes pretty uneventfully. You just hear the occasional, like, skittering of feet. Like, you feel like a few tunnels over, you know, you can hear something moving through the earth. Or maybe, like, once you hear, like, something, like, just crawl over your heads on, like, the soil above and then crawl off away. But you wake up, all of you, feeling... maybe, like, a little bit damp just from the air being so wet, cold, and a little groggy as you guys make your way out and kind of survey the problem before you. Far off, you can see Bug City, but between you and that is this, like, expansive body of muddy water, or you can go north and try to get all the way around.
Before we leave, can Autumn do some drawings of the ruins?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Do you want me to roll for that, or is it like...
Yes, go ahead and roll for it.
I got a 1.
Okay, write down one note about weird ruin drawing. You know, like, the shift is 1 here that you get, and, you know, I will bring it up later. I just need to remember the quality value of 1. What it is this is a gray level drawing, not a green or a purple or orange drawing.
You start saying that and like, but Cody, you're using all these colors for something else in this game. Please don't make it more complicated.
I don't get it.
Oh, I'm making it so complicated.
It's rarity in games. There's gray, blue, green, or gray, green, blue, purple, orange is like rarity in games.
It's like the common.
Across the board.
That's like the, yeah, common method that games use.
Is it still raining outside?
Yes, it's still raining. But, all right. What's everyone doing?
Have we noticed any thumps yet?
No. No, you have not.
So given the vast expanse of water that is ahead of us, I was thinking maybe we spend today constructing a raft to get across.
Oh, that's an interesting idea.
We've got all this downed lumber. I was thinking if we find some maybe smaller trees, lash them together with our ropes. Find something that could paddle us, or well, that we could use as paddles to ford our way across.
Do we need to use our ropes? Couldn't we just use this bug wax?
Oh, yes, I suppose so. Since it does seem to hold up to water.
And it seems pretty durable.
So yeah, we'd essentially make a fence and then put it on the water and hope it floats.
I will give you guys an aspect of bug wax because I didn't put 2 and 2 together on that. Like, I didn't give you bug wax so you could make a boat. I didn't think about the bug wax being used for a boat, actually, so you get an aspect for that.
Me nerding out a little bit, I'm like, oh, we're actually, like, sealing the bottom of the boat now. Like, it's not just, like, holding it together. We can seal the, like, tar the bottom of a boat with bug wax.
Yeah, it's, like, really good. Yeah, super helpful.
I'm dweebing out a little bit. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, I guess Fred starts working on that.
Can I assist him again?
Yes, let me think about that, though.
I still have the aspect of, like, able helper.
I will say that able helper aspect can continue. I think what's going to happen here, this is my idea of how this is going to work out. So I'll say that narratively all of you are helping, but this is, like, very much Fred's thing. I will give that aspect of able-bodied helper you'd have to spend a fate point to use.
Right.
But you do get the aspect of bug wax as a helpful one. So, Fred, what I want you to do, make 3 rolls, and you have to send me those secretly, and then things will happen as a result of them.
Okay, do you want me to apply aspects to them first, or?
You can apply aspects so the bug wax aspect is free once. And then you can use Autumn's able-bodied helper, but you have to use fate points to use that. But I just need 3 rolls.
Okay.
I think he was asking, do you want him to apply that before or after?
Oh, before. Just send me your final rolls. Like, I'm not telling you whether they're successful or not. You just have to send me 3
rolls.
No,
he means, like, for rolling the when he applies the aspect. So, like, if you roll, do you want him to say, I'm using this aspect on roll number 1?
And can I use the same aspect on multiple rolls?
Okay, so it costs a fate point. You get it. You can use it for free once. You're making 3 rolls.
Okay.
So you just have to send me 3 numbers. I'm not applying, you know, whatever that total ends up being.
Okie dokie. Oh my god. Okay.
All right, just message him over to me. Just me, by the way, not the whole group.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
Okay, so, Fred, tell me about building this raft. What does this look like? I'll say this probably takes you, like, a good chunk of the day to construct this, but you can kind of, like, narratively tell me what it looks like to build this raft.
Okay, am I incorporating the results of my roles in this, or no? Like, in the narrative.
I'm trying to think of the right way to put it. No matter what you would have rolled, you would have thought you did a very good job. So tell me what you think it looks like to build a raft.
Okay. So, first we find a... Fred, like, points out... like, looks for and points out a relative flat spot near the water's edge that we can start laying down these logs. And we start to gather the log... Like, try to find logs of similar size, but kind of lay them down parallel to each other along the water surface, and then we get just as much of that, the clay bug wax that we're calling it now, and just kind of start slathering it in between and all over, almost flex sealing it together.
I'm just imagining the flex tape guy just smacking patches of this stuff.
Yep. Oh, and then I guess we also find a couple smaller branches that we kind of, Fred all uses axe to chop into more ore shapes.
Cool. So you have like a nice little boat that could comfortably sit all of you, add some oars. When you first push it into the water, there's definitely that like awkward moment of like, please don't leak, please don't leak, please don't leak, as you like glide smoothly across the water. As soon as you get out into the water, it's choppier than you would have thought looking at it from a distance. Like, you can definitely feel like wake pushing you. There's definitely a current as well that's basically pushing the wrong way against you. So it's kind of like a struggle as you spend a long time just like, like throwing yourself across this lake. Fortunately, Autumn's pretty able-bodied, but this is basically an entire day of you guys just paddling towards this bug city. It's a boring day. This is one of those things where the reality of paddling this far up a river is really boring. There's definitely moments where you're like staring at the coast, like, are we moving? Because I'm paddling really hard, and I swear the coastline is not moving. Like, once you're out in the middle of the water, it's like you're like dropping a leaf to see like, does it float past us? And somehow it's moving faster than you because the wind like hit it just right. It just spiraled away further, and you're like, that was disheartening, you know?
In my head, there's like a moment, like, you know, like, because they're probably rotating, because paddling for an entire day would be like exhausting.
Oh yeah. Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
So it's like Autumn's paddling like for a while, and it's like moving a decent like click, and then Drew's like, oh, I'll take over. And then it like slows down, and she's like, well, this is disappointing.
Yeah. So this is much of a day just spent on this thing. Is there any discussions you guys want to have while you do this? If the answer is no, totally cool. This is just like a question before you get to the other side.
So Estelle.
Yes.
Have you thought of a name for this giant thing yet?
Which giant thing? The storm?
The storm monster thing that we saw the back of?
I feel like we've seen so many giant things at this point that...
That really doesn't narrow it down, no.
No.
I was thinking the giant one, not the like...
The weather one.
Yeah, the weather one.
I think it depends on what it looks like when we see it. Storm Giant isn't too bad.
Stormwalker?
Ooh, Stormwalker's pretty good, too.
I mean, Stormwalker's really good, though. Juliet, have you been reading my books?
I just flipping through. I read the first couple chapters of that one. What's it called? Rosa Riviera and... Oh, I forget.
At the Mountains of Madness.
I've never been a fiction person. I've never really read stories about stuff. It just seemed kind of, I don't know. I just liked reading about real things, you know?
Are you saying my books aren't real? She gives you like a wink.
I read books about fungi, you know? That was just what I did. I didn't. Fiction was things that other people read and that you read, which is great. And I'm now experiencing it for the first time.
When we get back, I can show you all the really good ones. Like, this is just the one I was reading. And I got this one from Mitchell, and it's pretty good. Not my usual friend. Do you think you'd like stuff about, like, people traveling between planets? Would that be more your fare?
Wait, what's Mitchell reading? I want to see.
I show her the... what did you call it, Cody?
I don't remember. It's like a detective novel, though, you know?
It's a space detective. It's like Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Except in Wanderlust. So.
But how do they get between the planets? What are the physics on that?
Oh, you need to look at the book called The Space.
The Space?
Boo.
Cody got it. Instead of The Expanse.
Oh, okay.
How did you not get it, Caitlin?
In that book series, it's 9 books long, and every book they remind you how the physics of space work.
Oh, well, that sounds delightful.
It's really not. Because by book 9, you're invested enough that you know how space works. You know?
Can you really wrap your head around that? I feel like the physics in that would be...
I mean, at a certain point, everyone knows you have to do a reverse flip burn to not crash into a planet, because space doesn't have deceleration.
Oh, you know, that's really interesting to think about. I wouldn't have...
I mean, it is the first couple of times, but then 9 books in when they're still, like, acting like this is a new concept, it's kind of annoying.
Well, I can appreciate scientific integrity.
This is why my games are so long. This is why. This is why my games take 80 years. Because of 5 minutes, once an arc of random pedantic arguments that I can then use as a scapegoat for my games being too long.
Yeah, except Cody, we tell you ahead of time that this is going to happen and you don't believe us.
Yeah, and it's also not why. It's because I add random freaking details that do not matter forever.
These aren't random pedantic arguments. They're actual arguments that I'm veiling through Autumn. Actual complaints I have about a book series. Anyway, if we don't want to do Stormwalker, because you mentioned that we needed to do things a little bit more scientifically, Estelle, I thought of the name, oh gosh, I don't know how to say Latin, Gigas Tempestus Nimbus?
Okay, what does that come out to?
In English, it is Giant Storm Cloud, I think.
It's not bad. I think we need to have like a running list for this one.
That's completely fair, and I may have stolen some of the names from a book, because I'm not really good at writing, but I tried to not just do something silly.
Well, it's definitely a good place to start. I there might be a way to, like, shorten it to make it a little more...
We can call him NIMBY.
Well, that's the less technical term, right?
I don't really... Juliet, aren't, like, all plant names, like, really long and hard to say, and then you call them, like, what you actually call them?
Well, sure, there's a scientific name. I don't know that's necessarily hard to say. It just has more syllables. But yes, there's usually a scientific name and a common name.
I love Juliet so much. Yeah, exactly what I said. There's the weird name that's hard to say, and then there's a normal name. So we can use this. I mean, I'm not trying to like say we have to use mine, because Stormwalker is pretty great, Juliet.
Well, I know that people like to name specific creatures that they have a fondness for, maybe. Like Guffy. So maybe our Stormwalker is named NIMBY.
I thought you were going to say you were going to name it after yourself, and I don't think that's like a nice thing to name yourself after a Stormwalker.
No, you know? I wouldn't presume to do that. I feel like we're very different.
I mean, you are. You're great, and you're great and have a lot of good plans, and it's not great and destroys towns. Very different.
Estelle, make sure to hand the book back to Autumn. Would not have expected that from him, but his book choice makes sense, I guess.
Honestly, it's not as bad as like some of the stuff. Like, I've read quite a bit, and like there are some really bad detective novels. Like, this detective respects women. Appreciate that.
Yeah, that's a good thing to look for in your detectives.
Right, like you would be surprised about how many detective novels are like, women don't get me. I hate women. I've only cheated on every woman I've ever loved. They don't. They're just the worst.
You know, I gotta say, in a world where we could have anything, detectives don't have to be misogynistic. They could be nice, you know?
I'm saying there are some. I'm saying Mitchell picked the right one.
It's because Mitchell's lame.
I'm also saying the number of times you've given me your speech about noir was made in a time and a place for a certain social setting. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense in this world. Anyways, are you guys done paddling? Do you want to have more scenes for the paddling?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I mean, we're not done paddling. We're still in the middle of a lake.
Well, no, I mean, this is like the montage of you guys getting across the lake. So after a very long and hard day of paddling a boat, you all are completely exhausted as you're finally landing yourself next to what you guys have labeled Bug Nest. Once you actually get over near that shore, you realize that it's not like a flat city. It arches like this big, massive hill arches that is just covered in these huge towers that, like, now that you're close to, are insane to look up at. Like, you're staring straight up in the air, staring into a swirling storm and massive towers that are alive with motion. There is constant scuttling and crawling of things that still at this distance seem pretty small. But even as you look down towards the coast, you can see kind of a lot of motion on the coast. You can see a lot of these holes. You can actually see some of these like centipedes like slithering in and out of this big hive. Again, you get that kind of dizzy look at staring at you know, an anthill and just this constant motion that all seems to be very synchronized and organized. It isn't like they're all moving in grids like a robot, but it definitely feels like they're all moving together. Like, they aren't, like, running into each other. You don't see fights breaking out. It seems very organized and smooth, like smooth rivers of insects just pouring in and out of this thing that almost seems like it's a whole breathing structure of these crawling bugs. And you can definitely, like, you can see a lot of those builder beetles, and you can see some of those mantises, but you can see tons of others that you have not recognized yet of a variety of sizes as you're getting closer and just rowing this boat in towards the bank. Now you get to make a choice. Do you want to land, like, right on the tile with the bug nest, or do you want to land on a slightly different tile and then, like, wait there and approach?
Do we have to approach?
No, technically, I guess not.
I think role-playing-wise, we should go to the tile right above it.
I think we'd land there, because it's going to be, like, night soon, right?
Yeah. I would say, like, at the point that you land there, it is, like, pretty much pitch black. Like, it is dark at this point. Like I said, full day of rowing here to get across this river.
That's a sucky day.
Yeah.
Do we have anything where we could just, like, anchor ourselves and, like, sleep in the boat?
I don't.
Oh, you know what?
Do we want to do that?
That's actually not it's not a bad idea in a sense. You haven't seen these bugs on the water.
How big is this boat?
We won't really be able to make a fire, though.
Throw a tarp over yourself, you know, and just kind of, like, sardine yourselves in there. I will say, GM's note, you can have this discussion in character. You can stop at either tile. It's up to you. You can stop right before the hive in the water and anchor yourselves. I think it'd be fair to say, I think you guys have a rope, right?
Yes. And I have a spear, so we could probably, like...
I think, like, with a rope and a spear, I think you could probably make a pretty mediocre anchor and be okay with it, you know?
So, where do we want to end up?
I would prefer to see these bugs in the daytime, if this is where we're going to have to be heading. So, I think at the very least, we should try to land north of them on that, like, that beach up there.
Yeah, I think it seems like this is kind of the nexus point of everything. So, if we're going to figure out what's going on, I think it's here.
Ugh, as much as I hate that, I think you're right.
Do we want to stay in the boat? Do we want to, like, anchor offshore a little bit? Because we haven't seen any bugs on the water, and I worry with just being so close to the bug nest.
Have we seen any other, like, fish or anything with our day of paddling?
No, kind of decidedly.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't think it really matters, because they've got flying bugs.
That's completely fair.
So, personally, I wouldn't mind... I'm feeling a little seasick after this whole day. I wouldn't mind being on ground, but if we think that's going to be safer, yeah, let's anchor offshore.
I'm not sure. Like, this is more what the bugs are going to do, and I know they're new to all of us, but that's kind of more you and Juliet. So I defer to your guys' decision.
I'm prepared either way.
All right, Fred, make a decision.
Well, the one thing I'm thinking of is if we stay out on the boat, we won't really be able to have a fire, so it might get pretty chilly.
All right. We paddle up north.
Okay. You land on the beach, and what I basically need all of you to do is make me some kind of, like, mental and physical constitution check to basically not pull up, start a fire, and all of you pass out immediately from a hard day of paddling, because this was a miserable day.
Despite the lighthearted conversations in the middle.
Yeah.
Mental and physical? Or
that was to keep the spirits up. Yeah, I would say, like, make me whatever... If you have a skill that you think would help you stay awake for a crazy long time, that would be the check to make here to not basically pass out after essentially running a marathon all day.
Athletics, I think, will work.
Okay.
Would you? I guess my will and my physique are the same, so either of those.
Either, okay. Yeah.
Three. I'm going to use composed.
Okay.
And that is a one.
Four.
And three for Fred.
Okay, so everyone who didn't roll above a four, basically you guys pull up, make a hasty campfire, and are just like, ugh, out. Autumn, you're still, like, a little wired. You can feel that, like, thumping heartbeat feel as you realize everyone else has passed out. and your body, you can feel your heartbeat in all of it, right? And you're like kind of nervy as you feel yourself like kind of nodding off. You're really feeling that lack of sleep the night before. You know, you're really, that's weighing on you as you're like doing the like, I hate to say asleep at the wheel thing, but like if any of you ever been tired and drive a car where you're like blinking and you're like, oh, these blinks are getting longer. I gotta get coffee. You know, it's like that thing.
Yeah.
Can I do something ill-advised?
Sure.
So I take my spear that I like, that's in the fire, and I put it on like my leg. Like down, like in a place where it's like not going to be constantly rubbed by cloth, but like I burn myself like a little bit.
So you hang on 1 second. Sorry, I have to pull open a thing here.
The reason I did this, by the way, is like if you've ever been burned, it kind of like throbs for a while. Like, so she's not trying to burn herself really bad, but like the mild amount of pain that she will feel for the next like hour, I'm hoping will help keep her awake longer instead of just like, you know, biting your cheek for a minute. And then it's like it fades pretty fast.
If Fred was awake to see this, he might start to wonder if Autumn's a masochist.
And also like this is like just like this is not her like self. Well, I mean, like it's literally self-harm, but she's not doing like. This is not a routine thing she does. She's just like, it's the same of biting your, like, your cheek.
Or pinching yourself to try to stay awake.
Right, yeah.
Right, it's like that, but she, like, knows, like, she is exhausted enough that, like, pinching herself would last for 2 seconds. So she's like, I need something that will last more, and I don't want to cut myself with a spear, because that sounds painful.
So, Autumn, like I said, you're doing that, like, nodding thing. And you, like, realize that as you, like, pick up your spear and stick it in the fire. And I'll say you take, like, one physical strain as you burn yourself a little bit. So it's not bad. I understand what you're getting at here, where it's, like, you know, enough to hurt, but not enough that you're, like, gonna get a horrible infection from, like, broken, cracked, burned skin. And as you do that, you feel yourself, like, startle, and your, like, heart races a little bit, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm fine. And you look around the fire, and you're like, okay, good. I have, I got Juliet, she's fine. Fred, he's okay. Estelle, yep. Guffy, perfect. And the giant cricket man that we've been traveling with this whole time. Then you're like, what the frick? And this giant cricket is there kind of prodding at Guffy and looking quizzically at it. And then he looks up at you and goes, oh, hello, how are you? My name is Tati. Is this for eating, or do you live in its corpse? Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.